Bless him, dear Lord. Good to be at the Energyville Church this morning. I look forward to coming over here once a month and preaching the gospel and trying to help folks, and want to be a help and a blessing to the pastor. And if I pastored a church, I'd have people over to preach that I wanted to hear. And I'm glad that he invites me over, and I try to be a help and a blessing, and want to see folks saved. And I believe that there's folks here that the Lord's been dealing with, no doubt. But I tell you, just like the brother said, God will speak to you through your heart. And the way, it's the greatest blessing, is, I'm going to add what Brother Dave said, it's the greatest blessing, privilege that man has, that he has a will that God gave him that he can choose. It's also the biggest curse and condemnation if you don't choose. It's a blessing. He gave the angels in heaven, they had a will about them too. And they chose, and one-third of the angels fell, and they're in hell, and they didn't get a second chance. They don't have grace, anything else. And they've seen God in all His glory and seen this creation. But mankind, God gives an opportunity, and God deals with His heart because we're the crown of His creation, and He loves us. Made in the image of God is us. Got your Bible this morning? Turn to the book of Mark. I've had this on my heart here to preach. I had something else, but God kept bringing me back to this because He knows what needs to be said and knows what we need to hear. And I've been preaching long enough just to know I need to do what God wants me to do. Mark chapter 1, you leave your Bibles open there this morning because I'm going to camp out right there for a minute. And Lord bless, I'm going to preach the next 2 hours and 45 minutes on this. Brother Tim, if Brother Tim gets up and walks out on me, he ain't offended at me. He's got to go to his boy's graduation and Slink's not and all that. My days are coming too, Lord willing. Mark chapter 1. And we'll pick up in verse 21. Mark chapter 1, and the Bible says, "And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, He entered into the synagogue and taught." Mark is a very fast-paced book. When you sit down and read Mark, Mark's one of Mark's most favorite words. He likes to use the word immediately. He uses that word all the time. Mark comes straight out the gate. Mark says in verse 1, "In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." And right off the top, we see Jesus saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." I believe in repentance. I believe God grants repentance. I'm glad God granted me repentance. And God dealt with me to where I could repent. Repent of what? Repent of my sin. Repent that I had sinned against Almighty God. Repent against I was listening. Repent and get things right. And as we grow in this Christian walk, we keep repenting because we keep making mistakes. Now, I'm not saying that you go out, if you get saved and somebody says they're saved and they drink on the side and they talk ugly and all this, chances are that person ain't saved. Chances are they've been deceived by something. Because sure enough, if you get right with God, I'm not saying you can't mess up. I'm not talking about a sinless perfection. But sure enough, you'll be a different creature. You'll mess up. Hey, but God will drive you. He'll spank you. He'll chasten you as a father loveth his son. God will drive you to an altar of repentance. And if you can live out in sin and live openly in that way, chances are you ain't never been saved in the first place. I know a bunch of people like that. And they say, "Well, don't judge. Well, don't judge." They love saying that. But the thing about it is, you're going to be judged by a standard, and that standard is Jesus Christ. And the Bible says if you make a judgment, you make a righteous judgment about Jesus Christ. Well, now watch this. "And they were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority, and not as scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Or if thou come to destroy us, I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." The first thing
The first thing, Jesus Christ. In the book of Mark, Jesus went to a lot of houses. And the first thing that Jesus Christ encountered when he went into the house, when he went into the synagogue, the first thing that Jesus encountered was the devil and the demons themselves. And what Jesus did when he went in this house in order to get some things done, he ran some things out of the house. Hey, when Jesus is in the house, there's some things that's going to get run out of the house. Hey, don't think. Hey, but listen, he preached with authority. It was an awakening message. And he preached hard and bold. And when you preach hard and bold and with authority, the devil and the demons are going to speak up. They're going to cause a stir. But Jesus ran them out of the house. Now, in this day and time which we live, I don't foresee it may happen. I don't foresee somebody getting up and saying, "I got an unclean spirit," and rebuking them. But I'll tell you what we'll see in this day and time in which we live, that God's got to run out of the house before things happen. In this same book of Mark, chapter 5, there was a little woman who had an issue of blood. The Bible said for 12 years there was also another little girl born. So in one sense, and it's enjoyed happened in 12 years. But on the other sense, a death happened. Listen, hardship happened in 12 years. I'm talking about Jairus' daughter. And she came sick and she died. And the Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus was making his way to Jairus' house to go in and touch this little 12-year-old girl. You know about the encounter with the woman with the issue of blood. But when he got to the house, there were some people on the outside. They had professional mourners and weepers. They said, "She's dead. Why are you going in there?" What did Jesus do? Jesus said, "You all stay out here. I'm going to take them that want to go in with me. I'm only going to take a certain few in here before I raise this little dead girl up." He left those that are condemning. He left those with an old complaining spirit. He left those with an old critical attitude. He left them outside. He went in the house and the dead girl got up. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus is in the house, before we're going to see God moving our churches, he's going to run some of those old wicked things out of our churches, or we're not going to see God move in the house.
Amen.
Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. And he got in the house and he ran the devil out. I'm going to tell you what Paul said in Galatians chapter 3. I believe it's about verse 1. Paul said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the gospel?" Paul went down, Brother Josh, and he had preached. And those folks had loved him. They loved him so much that they said, "If it be very possible, we'd take our eyeballs out and give them to you, Paul." But Paul went away and he said, "Who is that that's coming near and bewitch you?" Hey, it ain't the what that the preacher's got to worry about. It's them whom's that the preacher's got to worry about. Getting in and bewitching the people. And they had fell away. And they had gotten mixed up in all kinds of things. But when Paul went down to preach, he said, "Have I become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth."
Amen.
You'd be amazed
to
how the preacher become the enemy.
Yeah.
They'll come down and they'll get saved and you baptize them. They love you. They love you. But them hoes will get a hold of them and they'll get mixed up. And they'll get all mixed up in that very man of God that they loved. That very man that them Galatians said, "I'll take my eyeballs out and give to you, Paul." They turned on him and they went every which way. And Paul had to come down. He said, "Have I become the enemy? Because I tell you the truth about salvation. How it's through the blood. Have I become the enemy? Because I tell you the truth about the Spirit of God and service for God and walking up for God and living for God." Paul said, "Have I become the enemy? Because I tell you these things."
Yeah.
You get up and preach the gospel. You get up and preach these kind of message that I'm preaching and that your pastor preaches. You'll see what we have here today. A lot of empty seats. Because there's a lot of, listen, a lot of carnival. A lot of, listen, a lot of fuzz. A lot of candy. Listen, a lot of candy being put out and propagated. But in this day and time, we need to have our discerning ears, our discerning spiritual eyes open to know what is right and what is of God and what is not. This demon here spoke up. It was an unclean spirit. And Jesus quickly silenced it and ran him out so much that the people were astonished. And when Jesus is in the house, and he's in the house in several places in the book of Mark, he ran this thing out. And we're not going to see a move of God, Brother Tim Burke, till some things get moved out. But I'm interested in that same chapter, what else he did right here. Verse 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother, that's Peter, that's the first pope that the Catholics say that was married, the Bible says here, Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. That's his wife's mother, that's his mother-in-law. And anon, they tell him of her. They were excited. Anon means they were excited. They wanted to get to Jesus real fast. They were concerned about this. And they wanted to tell him that his mother, that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Now watch this. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her. And she ministered unto them. Hey, listen here. When Jesus is in the house, he ran some things out. He got some things cleaned up. And then the next day, when Jesus is in the house, people get lifted up or cheered up in the house of God. Here this little woman was with the fever, and she's sick. And the disciples anon ran to Jesus with joy and excitement. Because they know he's the healer of the hurts. He's the one who can help her out. And he came in the house and he lifted her up or he cheered her up. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, a preaching is to be a reproving, a rebuking, an exhortation with all long suffering and doctrine. And aren't you glad you can come in the house of God and a man can get up? A brother and sister can talk to you. You can bring your burdens in here. You can bump an altar of prayer. Because you know Jesus is there to take you by the hand and lift you up. Hey, the disciples, the Bible says this same book of Mark, that the disciples, he constrained them, or he, listen, he beseeched them, or made them, or encouraged them, get on a boat, and you know the story, and they began to see across the sea, but Jesus wasn't with them, and the Bible says that they ran into a tempestuous storm, a severe storm. But wait a minute, John says there was some other boats that went over too, that didn't go have to go through the storm. I don't know why some have to go through the stormy seas while the waves beat on a boat, but the Bible says that Jesus saw them in calling, and he began to make his way on the seashore about the fourth watch of the night. That's late. They've been toiling long. And here comes Jesus walking down the water. Now watch this. You can go read this. It's the book of Mark. The Bible says that they were so, listen, they had rolled and they had rolled. There's Christians in here. I don't know why you have to go through the storms that you went through. But I'm going to tell you, he sees you rolling. He sees you rolling and toiling. I don't know why the waves in some of you that's a beat against your boat. And why some people get a sail across old, listen, calm and sunny days. But you have to go through a storm. I don't know that. But the Bible says in the fourth watch, that's late in the night, when they got to the end of themselves, the Bible says Jesus came walking on the water and would have passed by them. I missed that. But I read that the other night. It said he would have passed by them, but they saw him. I want gonna tell you, if you're in a storm, Christian, this morning, He sees you in toiling. He sees you in rowing. And if you ain't careful, you'll focus so much on the rowing and on the storm that you'll miss the Lord. I'll take your life.
Amen.
And we do. We'll focus so much on our storm, on our sickness, on the family problem, and it's hard not to, or on the death, or whatever it may be. And we'll rob, I believe their hands was bloody with blisters. And they were so tired. And Jesus was going by. He didn't holler at them. He was right out there with them. The Bible says in one place that He sat on the seashore as like a shepherd watching over the flock. I read about Brother Joshua, a shepherd, a real shepherd with some sheep out from New Zealand. And the guy said, he went out there and he said, all these sheep, Brother Tim, on the hillside. And he said, where's the shepherd? He said, oh, the shepherd is back on the hill, back in the woods. And they can't see the shepherd, but the shepherd can see every one of them. It's not important sometimes that we can't see the Lord in our problems. But what is important to know is that if you're one of His and you're one of His little sheep, I'll be assured of this. His eyes on you.
Yep.
And the Bible says He saw them toiling and rolling. And they needed lifted up. And they needed cheered up. And Jesus would have passed by, but they seen Him and He got on the boat with them. And watch this. He rebuked the wind. He spoke to them, but He rebuked the storm. He didn't speak to the storm. He rebuked the storm and He spoke to them. He spoke to them in their storm and got them safely until the other side. Boy, I bet they was cheered up then, huh? But right before that, the Bible says that He'd just done a miracle. He just took five hush puppies and two fish sticks and fed a multitude. But the Bible says, because their heart was hardened, that listen, they didn't know. They didn't believe. But when it was them in their storm, when it was them in trouble, they wasn't hungry. He fed the multitude and had 12 baskets left over. But when the storm came, to them and their needs, and then their heart got a little softer. And to Jesus. You go read that. And when Jesus is in the house, you can be assured He can cheer some things up. He's going to run some things out. He's going to cheer some things up.
Amen.
I liked about the withered man with the withered hand, Brother Dave. There's a man in the house, the Bible talks about, that has a withered hand. It's his right hand, Brother Josh. That's a strong hand. That's something strong. No doubt it's shameful and humiliation to him. But the Bible says that Jesus come in the house and He straightened some things up. And when He straightened that man's hand out, He ran some things out. He lifted some things out. He straightened that man's hand up. I preached about the little woman who was bent out of shape with God. He come up and bent her up and straightened her out. Aren't you glad you come to the house of God with authority? Preaching straight from the Bible. I'm not preaching some old dream. I'm not preaching my own thoughts or my own opinions. I'm preaching you the Word of God as it applies to you in your life in 2013 as you're sitting here today. Isn't it amazing the Word of God can do that? Help us and minister to every need. Now the Bible said, here's where some of us fail. Bible says with Peter's wife, or his mother-in-law right here, that when she got up and she got cheered up, you know what she did, Brother Dave? She ministered. And it means she took the Bible and got ordained into the ministry. Okay? Minister to minister means she served. She was a servant. That's what she did. And listen, here's what we do sometimes, Brother Terry. We God will help us and lift us up, but we don't want to go out and share it. Or we cut back on our service. Well, I fell through that storm. I feel a little better now. I passed through that. But she got up and she went into service. She went and doing something for God. If all the people that have been in this church that God has lifted up, you can't count the times that God has lifted you up and cheered you up. But just like the lepers, nine went away, but only one come back to pay thanks. truth unto God. That's the way mankind is. We're so selfish within ourselves. I got my blessing, so I ain't going to worry about nobody else. But God wants us to be a servant and do something for God.
Man. And she got up and ministered. She got up and served. Jesus is in the house. He's going to run some things out. Jesus is in the house. He's going to cheer some people up. Jesus is in the house. He's going to straighten some things up. I like when Jesus is in the house and He turns things up. You ever seen that in the Bible? One time, now you've heard me preach about this. I read about when He went to the temple and He just sat there like this and washed them. Washed them. One place He washed a little bit and gave little mites and He just washed her. But He went to the temple one specific day. He'd been there before. Started going there when He was 12 years old, but now He's in His ministry. He's sitting there watching them. And they're going in there. They're buying old broke leg lambs. They're buying old doves. I can see them bouncing their gun. I can see them dressing ungodly. I can see them doing all these things. They just said, I'm going to go down to the pay my vow right now and see Jesus and watch Him. Bible says He began to make a whip. I can see Him doing it like this, Brother Josh.
Yep.
Boys, better be getting it together down there. Y'all better be getting it together. This is my Father's house.
Yep.
Y'all better be getting it together down there. I've seen twisting that up. Once He got it made, listen, they wouldn't hearken. They wouldn't listen to. They wouldn't listen to the prophets. They wouldn't listen to the Word of God. They was doing things their own way. I treating the temple of God. I treating the sacrifice of God. I just slipping. And the Bible says that He ran out of that whip. And He tore some things up. He tore the house up. And He let some things out.
Amen.
And of all the animals there, the Bible says they let loose the dove is what He let loose. Dove being a type of the Holy Ghost of God. I tell you what, you want to bound up the Spirit of God, you want to bound up the Holy Ghost of God, you come in here flipping.
Yep.
You come in here with an unlifted attitude.
Yep.
You come in here with no critical, complaining, condemning spirit. You come in here, listen, not knowing when this thing about the blood, not knowing, hey, without the blood of Jesus Christ, we're all doomed and damned and going to hell. But you come in here that way, it'll bound up the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God, listen, it won't move. It'll be so grieved, and if we ain't careful, instead of saying Emmanuel, it'll say Ichabod, and the glory of God is the party, and John the Baptist is preached, and nobody will be saved without the Spirit of God convicted hearts. But look here, chapter 2. He ran some things out. He tore some things up. He lifts some things up. He straightens some things up. Look here in chapter 2. The Bible says, and again, He entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that it was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And He preached the word unto them. And they came unto Him, bringing one sick of a palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press, they uncovered the roof where He was. And when they had broken it up, they let down their bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven. Here's the best thing about when Jesus is in the house. Here comes four men carrying a little friend. He can't get to God. They got to carry Him down. There's four men, two on the head and two on the feet. And the Bible says it was noised about that Jesus was in the house. It was noised about that a lot of people in the house. And these four men are carrying their little friend in to see Jesus. He can't get to Jesus unless they bring him to Jesus. And there's four of them. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when one thing that'll get Jesus, that'll get people out of Jesus, these four friends apply to us today. One of those four is the word of your testimony. And you get out here and you walk the walk and talk the talk, and people see a change in your life, how the Word of God is affecting you and helping you. Hey, things are getting noised about that Jesus is in the house. That's one way, is the word of your testimony. And number two, the next way is when they do get here, how about your testimony? Is there support of the people here? That the people love this place. They love their pastor. They love the Word of God. And there's a warmth here for lost people. And that we love them. And we want them here. I want drug addicts. I want drugs here. And don't matter.
next thing is, you got the, well, listen, the word of testimony. Listen, some places nobody ever go. Well, they go to church up there and they live like a pure devil. They ain't come, they ain't no power there. When they do come in here, they got to feel some warmth. Somebody got to hug your neck, buddy, I love you. You might smell like liquor, I love you. Stay down there and get saved. Sit down there and hear the word of God. Sit down there and listen. This is going to help you. You come and you listen. Pray that God, Spirit of God, will convict your heart. Next thing is the worship. Hey, the worship's got to be. People sing songs. That means something to them. People lift up holy hands. People pray. There's got to be true worship. Not this old pop stuff. This old stuff, we work up something. You can get that in a rock concert. I'm talking about true worship. Where people, listen, are coming together to pay honor and worship Almighty God. I'm not a church. I'm not a denomination. Or not a man. But are coming to worship God. Singing songs from the congregation. Congregational songs to the permanent stand. That's how you're going to get people to Jesus. And the last thing, one born of four here, was the Bible says, what Jesus knew, Brother Tim, He preached. He preached unto them. You ain't going to get saved on what Brother Dave Bentley dreamed last night. Are you listening? You ain't going to get saved on no kind of experience that I've had. You ain't going to get saved. Now listen, friend. God deals with you through His Word. God deals with you through the preached Word.
Amen.
That's the way God deals with you. He deals with you through His preached Word. His Spirit convicts your heart. God will put people in your life to witness to you, to testify to you, that loves you. But God's going to speak to you. And listen, you search the Bible front to back. That's the way God's always dealt with people through His Word. And then He'll put them in situations where they'll come in to encounter with people. But listen, God is not going to save you through some dream. God ain't going to save you through a bird flying backwards. The devil, he'll show you some things, and you might trust in that, and die and go to hell. I'm telling you, you hear the preach word, I preach with authority and power, and God prick your heart. You need to obey the gospel command, repent and be saved. These four brought their buddy here, he couldn't walk. And listen, there's four that could bring here. And when Jesus got encountered with this man that the friends had brought, notice they tore up the house, but I don't see Brother Josh where anybody in there got mad because the roof got busted up. And they brought him in. They wanted them in there. Here this man couldn't walk, and Jesus, listen, raised the dead up right there. I'm talking about spiritually dead. He couldn't walk. He raised up Jairus' daughter. She was dead. He raised up Lazarus in the dead tomb. I'm going to tell you, this is a place when Jesus is in the house that dead people, I'm talking about spiritually, dead people can get up. And truly, if Jesus Christ is in the house and He's speaking and He's working, dead people, spiritually lost people can be saved, can get up in the shape that they're in and be saved through the preach word.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
And the Bible says, verse 5, Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, get up and walk. No. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven.
Right.
Later on here, he's going to walk.
Yeah.
What's this? Here's what some of you trying to do. I tried. We try to walk right first.
Yep.
Yeah, brother.
We try to walk right first. I'm gonna quit cussing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna quit drinking.
That's me,
brother. And I'm gonna because there's a doctrine that says you got to pray your sins away. Can't find it in the Bible though, but that's a doctrine. Says you got to pray your sins away, keep some things out. I can't never have found that King James Bible nowhere, but no. People believe that. That ain't true. And I'm going to walk right and I'm going to get some things just right. And then I'm going to go down there to church and get saved. Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. That caused a little stir right there.
It did.
Because he wasn't walking just right. Then Jesus said, get up and walk right.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what now. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe in old time, Holy Ghost conviction falling upon you. Conviction and condemnation set up in your heart. as a lost person that you are lost, that you need salvation. But you don't got to go out here and kick out no rocks. You can't pray away your sins. If you could do that, then Jesus Christ hung on the cross in vain, because you did it all. You walked right, you got acceptable unto God. You got right, you earned your way in to the family of God. But this man came, he couldn't do nothing, but it was brought to a place where Jesus was, where there was preaching at, and Jesus forgave him of his sins. And then he walked right. You can't walk right until you get forgiveness of your sins, because your heart's not right, your motive's not right. You're trying to earn grace, and it's a blasphemous doctrine. Grace is freely given by Almighty God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me get a song, brother. Are you here? Are you here? Jesus is in the house. Are you here? You ain't walking right. You're trying to walk right. You're lost. You need forgiveness of sins. God's been dealing with your heart. You can be saved right now.